Grace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, the one true Good Samaritan, dearly redeemed and rescued. We've heard the word of the Lord from Luke 10, 25 to 37. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our listening and doing. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. You want not just hearers of the word, Lord, but doers of the word. And only you can make it happen through this gracious word and your blessed sacraments. Lord, bless us that we may be a blessing. Amen. So think back, maybe not all that far, but sometime when you were listening and there was a sermon that was really getting to you and you thought, oh, I wish that so-and-so was here to hear it. Ever think that? Who hasn't? Have you maybe sometimes heard things from a sermon or at least in the Bible that you thought you were glad someone was not here to hear? Because that might really offend them? Or maybe something you didn't particularly like to hear because it was offensive to you. Every sermon for every faithful pastor convicts the pastor. And if he's listening, makes him very grateful for the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that gospel. There's just things we don't want to hear about ourselves. And right between last Sunday's gospel lesson when Jesus ended by saying, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven," he throws in this passage where it's Jesus brimming over with joy. There's a special word there, just bursting with joy in the Holy Spirit. "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, because this was pleasing in your sight." The more educated you are, the more difficult these things can be for you. And we are in a highly educated part of the country. You think about this expert in the law, you might call him a lawyer, but a lawyer with a religious twist because he's deep into the law of Moses. And there's a lot of things he knows. He is not just one who hand copies like the scribes did, but studies it and then expands on that. He's the one that everybody goes to ask the questions, and now he's going to be asking the questions. He did not come to learn from this upstart rabbi from Nazareth, of all places. Come on. Are you kidding me? Backwaters, backwoods. He doesn't have anything to teach me. Didn't come to learn. And Jesus says, from the wise and learned, I hide these things. My Father does, and I rejoice in that. But see, there's something in this expert in the law that's especially true for the highly educated church people of today and certain congregations in particular, where we don't really like this glaring light. Because see, he was suffering from something we all have but really can't see and really don't want to admit. It's this thought that I'm a pretty good person just the way I am. At least better than that guy over there. And anybody that dares say otherwise, we'll see about that. Oh, and this is supposed to help me? To see my problem? Do this and you will live? The expert in the law did not come to ask and learn. He came to test Jesus. It's a word in the Greek for asking when really you already have an agenda. You ever talk to somebody like that? They're asking all sorts of questions, but they have it all answered beforehand. In the days when I was knocking on doors in 86 and 87, we were interviewed by multiple local newspapers. People actually read them back then. And the one from St. Paul sent a reporterette up here who obviously had her article written before she asked me any questions. Yeah. Nothing I said really brought anything more than kind of a scowl to her face. But there were a couple of the local weeklies, one in particular where the man was no question a Christian and so grateful for another church starting up in Jesus' name, whole different attitude. And it all revolves around, who is Jesus and what do you think of him? Well, this man didn't think much of Jesus, and you can sure tell. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I don't know how many of you kind of have a lawyer's brain or an engineer's brain or just you know English quite well. Would you stop him at this point and tell him that's an oxymoron? That's not a fool that keeps himself clean oxymoron. Oxymoron is someone who, or an idea that's a contradiction in itself, okay? What must I do to inherit? You can't do anything to inherit. We talk about this in 7th and 8th grade catechism all the time. The kids know this. Come on. See, that would be me pointing out his problem with his logic. That is not my Lord and Savior. That is not the Son of God. He did not come to argue. He came to seek and to save the lost, and this man needs him. Do you ever find it kind of irritating that there are some people who always answer a question with a question? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, haven't you heard anybody like that? Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Where would that be? You've never heard anybody like that? You know, it goes on and on. Can't you just answer the question, right? See, that's Jesus. He rarely just gives a straight up answer. He's constantly asking people a question, and he knows what they're thinking already. There's other places where they're trying to deny that he's God and deny his ability to forgive sins and work miracles. And Jesus is reading their thoughts and they don't even realize it. So here, Jesus is asking questions, but his reason is love. He wants to draw the man out. He wants the man to consider, especially where he is an expert, and from that word of God, see his problem as he wants me to see my problem. If you've ever been a parent, a teacher, or I was thinking back to a conversation after Easter service, there was a vice president of a company here and visiting again today, and we had this conversation about people coming to their own conclusions. You know, if I throw out these awesome, great ideas that I have all the time, right? That's people's reaction. Now, here we go again. Pastor wants this, pastor wants that. But if I say my prayers and ask the right questions, people think of it themselves. And then it's a really great idea, right? It's just human nature. And Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. So, what is written in the law, and what do you read there? Watch for that question in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's asking that one over and over again. What do you read in the law? What do you read? What does God say? What does the Bible say? I think this is kind of one of our hang-ups as highly educated Bible people, Wisconsin Senate, if you want to say that, because we always feel like we got to come up with the right answer, the right argument. Ah, Jesus is so much wiser. Ask the question. What do you read there? What does it say? Draw them out. So the man replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. He's an expert. He nailed it. Right? So what's the problem? Jesus says you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. So, Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That would be the unconditional agape love that God has for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you love God that way unconditionally? Or is it kind of like, God, if you do this or if you do that, if you answer that prayer, then I... You put that if in there? No, if with God, and he wants you to love him the same way. It's how he tests whether or not there is dross, those impurities in our faith. Will you still love God when the sun is not so bright and the health is not so good and things happen that you can't explain and you wonder why? With all your heart and with all your soul. That means deep inside where no therapy and no drugs can go. Deep inside that person that is you. You love God all the way down in there? Never have a bad feeling toward God? Never question God? With all your strength. So you never burn out when you're doing things for the Lord and your family and your community and your church. Always highly energetic, right? With all your mind, you only think positive thoughts about other people and about the Lord. And love your neighbor as yourself. Always willing to do for others what you would have them do for you. And not just always, but always with a happy heart, with love. You feel that bright light that just makes us hot and uncomfortable? Jesus had him answer, and he's feeling guilty. You know it. Don't we all? And so, wanting to justify himself, he says, and who is my neighbor? And there's an agenda behind the question. It's like, who do I have to love, and who do I not have to love? Who can I skip over? I got stuff going on, you know? And Jesus knows that his soul is just riddled with holes of have to. Everything about the law is thou shalt and thou shalt not, and mess up once, you're damned. It cuts you no slack. It gives you no room. It's why all the religions of the world and Christian religions that rely on works have to water down the law. But Paul says in Romans, we don't set aside the law, we uphold the law. There's only one way that can happen. Who is my neighbor? Jesus has a reply. You've answered correctly, do this and you will live. That is what the law says. This is true. If you could perfectly obey the law with all your heart and soul all the time, you could live based on that. But then David comes along in Psalm 51 and he says, I've been sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Oh boy, I didn't even do anything. I didn't have a chance. That's right. We pass this sinful birth defect on from one generation to another, and when you're in the next generation and looking back, you're looking in the mirror, and that's what's so irritating. That's me I'm looking at. Oh, come on, Lord. Where am I going to get eternal life when I fail all the time to do? Path, we would call it. They called it the road, the way going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was called the way of blood back in those days because it's about a drop of 2,000 feet. Fortunately, they're downhill and everybody's going to be hurrying. But, you know, 14, 15, 18 miles, depending on if you get lost through there. So they're all hurrying. Everybody's going to get through there as fast as they can. And there are bandits. You know the difference between a robber and a thief? This is not a joke. A thief is just by stealth. A robber is actually by physical harm. Well, this poor man, hurrying though he was, he got caught by somebody who knew he was hurrying, and they were in a hurry to catch him. And so the robber stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Interesting in Luke's gospel account, he is good Dr. Luke, and his vocabulary is a bit more advanced than you find in other places, except in the Apostle Paul, who was a rabbi. But I'm constantly in these gospel lessons looking up words that I didn't know before in the Greek, and some of it's just Luke's medical terminology, because that is where our medical terminology comes from, you know. The legal comes from the Latin, the medical from the Greek. So Luke, doctor, putting this in there, and he's feeling it. He feels for this man because he's ministered, you know, doctored with people like half dead. It just so happened, kind of by accident, that a priest was going down that way. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Wait a minute. Those are like the pastors in those days? Guys that stand up in front of other people and tell them what for? Right? He passed by on the other side. And then a temple worker named a Levite. They weren't just from the tribe of Levi anymore after the exile. I guess there weren't enough from the tribe of Levi. So they would basically train servants for the temple who would, you know, keep everything clean. All those sacrifices, there was a lot of work to do to clean up all the blood and everything. It was just blood and guts. It was awful. And that was a picture of sin to God. And these temple workers would do the singing. You know, they were the Levites. They were the church people, especially the active ones. Well, he saw the man and passed by on the other side. Wow. These two look bad already because Dr. Luke is feeling it for the man. And now, you've got to be kidding. This is really over the edge. The foreigner? They thought of them as half-breeds. You remember where the Samaritans came from? It goes back to 700 years before Christ, time of Hezekiah, Isaiah, when the Assyrians deported the 10 northern tribes far, far away. They're lost to history, basically. And then imported, the Assyrians like to do this, move people around, keep them under control. So they pull a lot of people into those northern areas up around Galilee and so forth, and they intermarried with whatever Jews were left, mixed up their religion, and they were the Samaritans. And the Jews hated them, and the feeling was mutual. He's not supposed to be the good guy. No way. That's what Jesus makes him. A Samaritan, as he traveled to where the man was, when he saw him, he felt sorry for the man. Oh, man. He uses the same word for Jesus, feeling sorry and compassion, welling it up from inside. Oh, he's just pouring it on right here. We were uncomfortable before. He saw him, he felt sorry for him. With compassion, he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Come on, Jesus, stop. No, he put him on his own animal, took him to an inn, and took care of him. That should be the end of it, right? No. The next day, when he left, he is a businessman, he took out 2 denarii, that's a day's wage, you can figure how much it was, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever extra you spend, I will repay when I return. I think he might have even had a reputation for being honest because he could tell the innkeeper that. Oh, man. Which of the three do you think acted like a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? Well, by this time, the expert in the law can very well see that it's more important to be a neighbor than to try to answer who and who is not your neighbor. And so he answers, it's the one who showed mercy to him. And Jesus told him, and us, go and do likewise. So do you. Always. With a happy heart. Maybe you feel like the lawyer here and say, there's got to be a loophole, right? Lawyers like loopholes. So maybe the rational reason why they passed by on the other side was something like, I don't have what he needs to help him. I might put myself in danger. What if I don't know who this is? And what if I'm in a hurry? I've got my job. Got a job, you know. Ah, and church work, you know. Priest and Levite. Jesus really hits hard, doesn't he, on church people? I will never forget the look on the man's face. That busy Christmas season. When I finally stopped and turned around. He was glaring at me. I kind of wondered if he knew this parable of Jesus, because I sure did. The wheel of his grocery cart had slipped off the curb as I was rushing by. And when it dawned on me that Jesus said, go and do likewise, all I could do was turn around and say, sorry. And in steps Jesus. He didn't just pass by accident. He was looking to seek and to save the lost. He saw us beaten and robbed by Satan and sin, sick with guilt, overwhelmed by all the things we know the law says and we can't do and do and do, and fail and fail and fail. He sees it. But he came for you by name, from all eternity loving you. Came for me. Greeting people on the sidewalk today, it flashes through my mind the backstories on so many of you that I've known for so many years or more recently. At same thing, giving the Holy Supper. And I think of all the ways the Lord God is, that I know of, what little I see, in your life. And he brings you to his word and he keeps you in that word and he blesses you. And all these ways that Jesus came to give you grace and blessing. He is the one good Samaritan. And he brings these words of grace and peace from long ago in the Old Testament prophets and the Psalms. I mean, he didn't wait till the New Testament to tell us all this. Remember Psalm 103? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it in overflowing abundance. That's John 10:10, and it's on the picture that you see when you come in the main doors. It's around the circle of the eternal ring of gold. God's grace to you and me. He didn't wait. He is the one good Samaritan. He poured out his blood to wash away your sins and mine and every failure under the law. And the grace that you and I need to start again a new day and know that the slate is clean for another day, he gives us that grace every morning. Again, Old Testament, his mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. You can put your head on your pillow at night and go to sleep in peace. Look at Psalm 3 or Psalm 4. Just rest. Rest in the Lord and in his mercy. That's what he wants. Because you know when the Good Samaritan came, his hope, his desire was to make sure that that man beaten and robbed was healthy and strong again. And it is to the Lord's glory when you are healthy and strong in word and sacrament. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me things I don't like about myself so that I can see how awesome it is to see the love of you, the good Samaritan who rescued me. Now, Lord, grant me the grace to go and do likewise in gratitude. Amen.